Hello and welcome. Coming to you live from the Geek ETC Podcast Studios, I'm Josh.
And I'm John, and I'm eating pizza rolls and drinking a protein shake.
Well, you aren't, but I am.
It's a pee-pee meal, that's what I call it.
Oh, that's gross. But this is the Geek ETC Podcast, where we dive into all things you can geek out about. Hello, friend.
Howdy.
You're going to blow my ears out.
Yeah, that's what I do.
It is what you do.
That's right. That's right.
Well, we're back here once again in studio. You're actually in person, though, this time. Not remote.
Yeah.
Which is cool. It's good to actually see you face to face.
Teleported here from neighboring unincorporated township and, you know.
Yeah, I didn't know you had teleportation powers, but that's kind of impressive that you can do such a thing.
Yeah, I don't know. When it comes to teleportation powers, I don't know, like, what is the gold standard? Is it like...
I mean, gold standard is from D&D, I guess, like teleportation. You can just, you know, if you have the, if you know the place, you're familiar with the place, you can just zap you and like six or seven other friends.
Yeah, but there's some other stuff that could happen with that too.
If you're not familiar with it, then you have to, comes up with a roll of the dice.
But Nightcrawler.
Then you have on the short scale like that. Nightcrawler, you just bamf, but you have to be able to see where you're going.
What was that other movie? What was that movie that the guy could like?
Was it like Jumper or something?
No. Yes. Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, Jumper, where they could just like, I think they could like look at a picture of a place and just like bamf themselves there.
That's interesting.
It wasn't a very good movie.
I don't remember it being like amazing.
No, I think it was very mediocre from what I remember. I mean, I saw it once a long, long time ago, and I don't remember it being any good.
Yeah. Well, speaking of which, that brings us to our topic today, which is foreign Norwegian films that we like to,
right.
Or sorry, Danish films.
Right. I don't know of any. I don't know that I've seen any, but...
I've got two, Flame and Citron and...
You would.
And April 9th.
I would like to hear about some other movies, though, that you have seen, because you've seen a few movies lately.
Boy, have I.
And I heard pretty good, like, really good reviews on one and pretty good reviews on another.
Yeah.
So we'll start with a more minor one, because I'm sure there'd be less to say about it. But you saw the new Godzilla movie.
So my son is obsessed with Godzilla.
He likes all things giant monsters, kaiju.
Yeah, and he knows, like...
All of them?
He knows all, like, it's just from YouTube as well. From, like, learning it in YouTube. Like, I'm not, like, obviously, I didn't hate it. I could tell you who Mothra was or whatever before, especially this new Monarch arc that's going on in film with this kind of thing. But he loves it. He loves Godzilla and all, you know, Gamera and Ultraman and all the kaiju things. And he knows all these different names. And... so we took him, it was early release day for school. So we took him.
Oh, nice. That's convenient. Did they early release because the Godzilla movie came out?
No. But we took him for, I guess it could have been a Good Friday, but.
Oh, that would actually, that's more appropriate.
I guess. Depends on where you're from. But he dressed up in his Godzilla costume, full regalia, no mask, but, you know, he wore his, he had his tail and his, like, you know, little jumpsuit on.
Nice.
With the spikes and everything. Yeah, and we went and watched it. Pretty good. Pretty predictable. It's definitely...
I mean, I don't expect a riveting storytelling from giant monsters fighting other giant monsters.
You say that, but I'll be honest with you. The first one in that series, I think it was just titled Godzilla.
Yeah.
The first one in this series of like
the revamp.
The revamp with the Monarch and all of that stuff going on. The one with Bryan Cranston. That was a pretty good...
Yeah.
Story. Yeah, that was just like, and some of the visuals in that were amazing.
Yeah, I will say these modern ones, they definitely had good, like, I mean, obvious the CGI, but it's not like crappy really CGI. Like a lot, everything looks pretty good.
Well, sometimes. I mean, some of the, like, the Marvel things is just a little over the top.
I mean, specifically the Godzilla movies, the CGI in those things. But yeah, like, There's a lot of still modern movies that the CGI does not look great.
Well, in that first one was directed by Gareth Edwards, and I'm I've grown to be a pretty big fan of him, especially with Rogue One, you know, like,
oh, he did
Rogue One as well. And so
that makes sense.
He's in some other things. And, I really, really, really like that. When my wife and I went and saw it, I think we saw it. Was that, I think that was on our anniversary.
Rogue One?
No. We saw
Godzilla. Oh, the first Godzilla.
We were in Hilton Head on our honeymoon, and then we went and watched it in the theater in Hilton Head, and we really enjoyed it. There's that scene where the Marines, and I think some of the naval EOD guys or whoever, are halo jumping into the city while the monsters are fighting through the clouds, so that, you know, right, they come through the clear skies and they enter through the clouds into this, like, red, you've got flares coming off of them. That,
right,
like that, and with the music, with the score, with that was actually a pretty good scene. There was a lot of interesting stuff there, and I thought the story was really good for that one. Since then, it's obviously just been over the top for the most part.
Yeah,
which is fine, and my kid loves it, and that's, you know, if that's who really likes it, then I'm good with it, you know.
I don't remember if it was the first one or the second one of those. I think it was the first one, but it's interesting you have like a memorable experience with your wife with that first Godzilla movie, because I also have a like wife experience with the first Godzilla movie. She wasn't my wife at that point, but we were just dating. But it's kind of the opposite. I think like there was a period of time that, like an idiot, I had like broken up with her when we were still dating, and like an idiot, for some reason, for some point, I like, we were technically broken up, and I asked her if she still wanted to go see that Godzilla movie.
Oh yeah.
I was completely lost as a person at that point in my life, though, I'll admit, and was, I didn't know what was up and down.
Yeah,
I was going through a lot of things.
He was always late to meetings, like you'd say second floor, and he would be on the first floor.
But anyway, yeah, it was a tough time. But regardless, like every now and then, some conversation will be brought up. We're talking to like relatives or something, and she'll bring up the Godzilla story that she was just like so mad at me, and was like, "Do you want to date me? Do you not? Why are you asking me to go see Godzilla? Like, what's going on?" And I was being a horrible person at the moment in time, but thankfully she was able to, you know, help me see my mistake, and we got back together.
Did she go with you to the movie or not?
No.
Oh, well,
yeah.
Our loss.
I don't know about that. But we're happily married now in our third year.
Do you know? This is...
I'm saying, what's it for you guys at this point?
A decade.
Oh my gosh.
In a month. Decade next month.
I guess you've got like a child too.
Yeah, that's why I was confused at first. Like, when did I see that? Because
right, when would that have been?
Yeah. The good thing about like, I say this, and my wife, if she listens to this, she'll probably be like rolling her eyes at me. But, and I'm gonna try to do better this year. But our anniversary has always been like, oh God, I forgot kind of thing, or like it's not been.
Yeah,
I think because our kid's birthday takes precedence.
Right. Right.
And there wasn't anything special about the day that we planned it on, other than we were getting her grandparents' timeshare in Hilton Head.
Right,
like
right.
A gifted honeymoon to go, like the accommodations only.
Right.
So that's what we planned everything around. And so it was like, that was the more like abstract part of everything. It was like, oh, you know.
That makes sense.
In May, whatever, we're going to go down there.
And see,
I know what it is, by the way. But I'm not just saying
that's one of the things that we still have issues with too, is because we kind of have two, because we got legally married in 1 year and then had a wedding a year later.
Yeah.
So we're just like, heck, we're just going to celebrate all of them.
Yeah.
Just, you know, have an excuse to go have a fancy dinner or something two times a year.
Brazilian steakhouse, baby.
Never been there still.
Have you not?
I've never done that. We need to do that at some point.
Yeah, well, yeah. Starve yourself all day, and we can go do it.
I kind of meant me and my wife, but
well, we could do a double date. We could do a double date.
Hey, there's an idea.
Anyways, going back to Godzilla X Kong,
right.
King Kong.
Enough about Godzilla our love lives.
Really good. In the graphics department, a little weird. In the story department, I mean, they're in Hollow Earth and all kinds of things down there. And then you've got, you know, Scar King, the bad guy who rides the Shimu monster. And my problem with is like the biggest issue I have with it is the scaling.
What do you mean?
So,
well, first off, just going back, It's hard to tell from the trailer, but is the main bad guy just like a big orangutan? Was he the other monkey? Was that like the bad guy?
Yeah, he's like the bad dude. That's Scar King, yeah.
Okay.
Scar King is like the bad guy. There's a lot of interesting stuff going on there, you know. But Scar King is the bad guy. The problem is, though, like, when him and Godzilla square off the first... Or not him and Godzilla. When him and King Kong square off the first time, they're, like, the same size. Or, sorry, King Kong's taller than
Scar King. Bigger. Okay.
And, like, Scar King's, like, a little bit more wiry.
Yeah.
And he has a bone whip.
Because why wouldn't he? What else is a giant monkey in Middle Earth?
Yeah. It's like... But it is like a... Like a giant serpent skeleton, like a kind of chained together. So that, it is better that way.
Like some other creature that lives in Hollow Earth died. And, yeah. Okay. I could see that.
With a control crystal that controls the Shimu anti, you know, the frost monster dragon.
Oh, that also comes from Hollow Earth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some, because they have those laying around.
Yes.
Okay. I'm up to speed.
So, but the problem is like, so King Kong is like clearly like a head taller than Scar King is.
Yeah.
Scar King's more like wiry or whatever. But just some of the sizes when you see like Scar King on top of one of them versus King Kong on top of one of them, it looks like one's bigger than it's some of the, which I imagine is pretty hard, especially because, you know, they go from there. There is some scenes on not Hollow Earth and in Hollow Earth.
Outside Earth.
What is it? What do ants have? Exo-Earth.
Oh, Exo-Earth. I see what you're saying. I was like, well, how does that do with ants? And I was like, exoskeleton?
Nissan had it right. Xterra. That's what it is. Xterra.
Oh, yeah. The classic SUV car from Nissan. They stopped making them in 2015.
Because
I kind of always wanted one.
I always liked them, too. But, man, Nissan has just fallen kind of down lately. You know.
In what regard? Just their designs or
no, just like engine and transmission issues.
The transmissions have had a lot of things.
Yeah.
I've knock on wood. My car is a Nissan. It's been great for me. I needed a computer update at one point that the dealership couldn't figure out what was wrong. And so I took it to just some shop down the road and like, oh yeah, the computer's never been updated. Update it. Worked fine ever since.
Yeah. Just been car shopping. So that's something I've been running into.
Yeah.
But It was good. It's definitely a good movie to go see in theaters. There's some, you know, interesting scenes in it. The story's not all there, but it's a very basic story with giant monsters and explosions and things fighting and destroying different cities.
Right. Well, that's cool. Like, yeah, I kind of have an interest in, I might watch it. Like if it comes out to rent or something, I may.
It's not a bad. If you've got a decent TV, like if you've got a different, like a LED or LCD TV, nothing wrong with
it. Got like 4K stuff going on. Yeah, I might check that out at some point. I'm always kind of down for those big monster movies as well.
However,
if
you haven't seen it, then you are required, as one of our crew, to go see Dune Part 2. In theaters.
Specifically in theater. Like in you said like
IMAX?
In the like best possible.
Yeah. I said that. Right. I put that out on our Instagram one day. I said, hey, if you're gonna go see this, I'd watched it opening day. I said, if you're gonna go see this, we saw it in an RPX theater, like a Regal RPX theater.
That's kind of the best we have around here.
It is.
Within reason, yeah.
And I said, you gotta go see this in the best theater that you can find. And then Josh Brolin, who plays Gurney Halleck in the movie. In both movies, posted that he's like, I've never said this before in my career. Never once said it. But if you're going to go see this movie, you better try to find an IMAX or you better try to find like the best theater you can find. Because it is the best cinematic experience I've ever had.
Wow. And I feel like that's quite a statement.
Yeah. You know, I think there's times like once I see it again or whatever, like there could be some critiques and like storytelling or what have you.
A few little kind of acting, nitpicky things.
But sitting in the theater and watching it, I was enraptured. I didn't have really any other distractions. I had my wife and one of my friends, Pete, with me. And
I completely blanked out. Did you mention that it's Dune 2 that we're talking about?
Yes.
Dune Part 2. I think I just blanked out. Yes. Yeah.
Dune Part 2.
Yeah.
I was completely enraptured in it. there was not a lot of people that got up to go to the bathroom, even though it's a pretty long movie. You get sucked into it from the go. It starts essentially right after the first movie, like barely almost part of the same scene.
Wow.
You know, where they were leaving, it picks right back up where they're walking away essentially, or that, you know, they've already been walking away a little bit on their way back to Siege Tabor or whatever.
I haven't seen it yet.
Well, I'm down to watch it again. Yeah, so
I might need to watch the first one again to kind of get it. Or you could probably give me a recap, and I might could watch a YouTube thing for a recap as well before going seeing it. Just because I don't really remember what all happened in the first one.
You can just watch it again. It's worth watching.
Just watch it.
I mean, the first one's amazing. The first one was beautiful and great, and the sound and everything of it was amazing. But this one, the second one, is so, so good.
Oh.
So beautifully done. Everything looks good. And when we talked about CGI, there's nothing in this that screams like fake. Nothing in your head mind is screaming fake, 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 fake. Everything in it, when you look at the weapons that are used outside of knives, right? We all know what knives look like, but any of the guns or lasers or any of that stuff that's used doesn't look like, you know, I love Star Wars, but Han Solo's blaster is a Mauser C96 pistol. Right? It is. We know it is. And this looks cool and it looks retro. The Stormtrooper weapon is like a Sterling submachine gun.
And right? If you know weapons, especially historical weapons, like you can't not see that. And again, they worked with what they had at the time, but you know, we know what that is.
But in Dune Part 2, these weapons and everything look like sci-fi concept art, completely unique.
So they just kind of had a concept and just realized this pure fictional design.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I like that.
It's beautiful. It like, you feel transported to somewhere else. There's at least two other planets that are like featured in this. So I saw one review where it was talking about, one of the negative things, it was like, oh, Arrakis just gets boring.
It's just always on a desert or something like that?
Yeah, which is dumb, because there's also more stuff to it. It's like taking you to different places on the desert. Like, you're exploring much more of the world.
Right.
And one of the problems I have in major sci-fi of, like, anything is, like, Star Wars is a big one. There's a planet and there's a city and that's the only thing on the planet, right? Like you show up and like, we got to go to this planet, and we get there and it's like this one town is like the only town that exists.
And even if they go back to that planet in multiple movies, they only go to that same town.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yes. Whereas like in this one, like there's stuff moving and like they wind up going to like the southern hemisphere at one point. And, you know, there's not really a difference in the scenery, but like, they're recognizing that this is like a giant planet, because that's what it is.
Kind of like Godzilla, where they go inside of it.
But it's not like, there's a lot of movies where you watch them and, that's just one of my biggest pet peeves is I tried watching that.
You're saying it's kind of like Starfield, where there's planets, but there's not really nothing on it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's like I watched, what was that Netflix movie? The Rebel Moon.
Oh.
It's what's his face directed it? Snyder.
Zack Snyder?
Zack Snyder. Let me look around. Let me make sure Zack Snyder's not near me. Garbage. Trash movie. Horrible. I stopped halfway through. Yeah.
Is it rare for you to actually stop a movie once you started it?
Very rare.
That's what I was thinking. You're one to you at least sit through it and finish it, but yeah, there's been very few movies that I've started and just like, I can't.
Even series. Like, there's a, like, and I love What's Her Face. I love Starbuck and Bo-Katan. What's her name?
Katie Sackhoff.
Katie Sackhoff. There's a new, and we didn't look that up, by the way. That was just pure memory. That was just scrunching of foreheads.
I had to sort through my Mind Palace files, they're frantically searching. I finally found it.
I'm going to make him pull some more here in a minute. But we were, like, I tried to watch her new show that's on Netflix. Not new show, but there's a couple seasons. It's called A New Life, and it's sci-fi. And I was like, oh, interesting. And the acting outside of Katie Sackhoff is so bad that my wife and I were like, can't do it.
Can't do it. Can't do it. That's a shame. So, and I hate to see people like, when you know they're such good actors in that get like caught up in a thing like that, that everything else around them is kind of like, bleh.
Yeah. So, like, Rebel Moon, absolute trash, absolute garbage, like, very Star Wars slash Warhammer 40K wannabe, but without the actual story to go with it. And I know he says that there's going to be like a rated R cut. That's going to be like a completely different movie.
There has to be some other Zack Snyder cut of some kind of something or another.
Well, there's like a part two coming out.
Oh, well, okay.
And he, you know, I don't know. I just, I couldn't do it.
Was he the one that did that first Man of Steel?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, that was the movie that sticks out in my head that I only got like 30, 40 minutes in and had to.
You didn't like that Man of Steel?
No, is that the, no. I didn't, I don't know. I didn't get far into it before I just lost interest.
With what's his face? With our Lord and Savior Henry Cavill?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought it was fine. I thought it was an interesting take on the Superman series.
Yeah, I think we had talked about that. Yeah, the part at the beginning, though, where his dad just like unneedlessly sacrifices himself to a tornado.
Yeah. Which, like, as a Kansas native, you're like, you would have...
You've seen it coming.
You've seen... Not only have you seen it coming...
You just leave.
But you hear that... Like, yeah, the emergency tones.
And there's, like, a car. Also, your son is Superman. He can grab you in a split second and leave. Yeah. Anyway, I would keep worrying about that for a while.
But going back to Dune Part 2, because that deserves the highlight.
Yeah, tell me
that about deserves it. What needs to be talked about. The... Everything about it, there's a lot of fun memes that come out. There's like actually some decent humor in it, which wasn't like super off-putting to me, because, you know, like a serious movie, I, John, do not enjoy a ton of like silliness in things. Like, I don't like comedy movies really. I do occasionally. Like, I'm not gonna say I hate all comedy movies, but I'm not like...
Would you say like those newer Thors kind of fall in that realm, or the Guardians of the Galaxy?
Don't like them really.
Yeah,
I don't like that kind of like. And it's not, they're like trying to be dry, but it's not that dry.
Right.
Yeah. I guess the best way to put it is like when something happens on one of those, like you watch one of those movies in theater, and there's like some lady nearby who laughs out loud afterwards.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody's been there, and there's like that one lady who will like, you're like, huh. You have like a little, but there's that one lady who's like dying laughing.
Cackling.
Yeah. That's the movies I can't stand. But in this one, there was some really interesting stuff. I love the memes that have come out of it with Stilgar and everything, but Arrakis, beautiful. Love the way it looks. Love the feel of everything. I need to see it in IMAX. I wish I could. But then, when you deal with like the Imperial home planet, which I forget the name of it, you see like a whole, like a really interesting kind of palace type thing, and a really interesting kind of borderline Japanese take, like bonsai garden. Ooh. Type of, not like Japanese, like Japanese castle, but like you kind of get like this bonsai garden feel to everything.
Some Zen vibes, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then you have Getty Prime, which takes place under a black star, and the scene was shot in like infrared.
What?
So that's the reason why it's black and white. I remember seeing the commercials for it, and I was like, why do they have a black and white scene in it? But it's because it takes place under like a black sun, so everything's shot in infrared. And
oh, wow.
With the scenes in that, and like the fireworks that go off are like inky black, just blobs that just explode, and like everything is dark. And
it's pretty smart as far as the filming technique.
Oh,
that's,
yeah,
cool.
It looks beautiful. It was really interesting looking. And yeah, acting on point from everybody. Loved all of it. I can't give it enough praise. I was obsessing over it for the entire day. Like, I went home and it's like all I could think about for the rest of the day.
Wow.
All that I could think about. Like, it was on my mind. I was like, I'll go back and see it right now.
Always on my mind.
Don't get a YouTube strike on us.
Get a copyright strike. Sorry about that.
You are.
No.
Nope. So.
It sounds pretty cool. Like I said, I'm going to have to, I'll either watch the first one or watch a recap or something. And
I mean, if you want to see it again, out. I'm pretty sure my wife would want to go see it again as well.
Oh, so, yeah.
She would. I mean, I mentioned it the other day and she was like, yeah, okay. But she, you know, it's a long movie. My wife in particular hates bad endings.
Ooh.
And she was fine. She liked this movie.
Like, okay.
Like, an ending will totally ruin a movie to her.
I could see that.
And I don't blame her, because it's an important part of, like, the literally the conclusion of something, of a story, is important.
Agreed.
So, huge, huge fan. Let's get into just TV too, if you want.
Well, I was going to say some gaming things. I think I'd mentioned it to you the other day when we were chatting, but I have Diablo 4 came out on Game Pass on Xbox.
Oh, okay.
And I know that that's been a lot of hype around that, and I've heard a lot of people talk about the Diablo games for many years and how great they are and all this stuff. And so I started it up, got it downloaded, started up on Game Pass, and the opening cinematic, it was like, felt like it was like 10, 15 minutes long.
Okay.
But it looked amazing.
Yeah.
Like graphically and stuff, it was like really kind of like creepy too and stuff, but it was a very cool opening cinematic and it kind of like set a cool foundation. But then when you hopped into it and actually got in the gameplay and stuff, my excitement very quickly dwindled.
Yeah, so I've seen like that, oh, like how it works and like this kind of click, click, click it's stuff a, that's going on.
It's an kind of, yeah, like it's an RPG for those who don't know, but it's kind of an over the top view, not directly, you know, straight down view, but you think kind of some certain strategy games or other RPG stuff. Like it kind of, your character kind of looks like a small figure on a map, kind of roaming around. And yeah, but unlike something like Baldur's Gate or something, it's not a turn-based strategy kind of thing. It doesn't like stop and turn-based in combat. It's just, yeah, you just have to, like, you have, you know, the A button does your shooting attack. And so you just have to spam A and you're just shooting all the monsters running at you. Yeah. And so it's a very like button mashy kind of RPG.
Yeah.
And I heard people say that once you get a little into it, though, like you really do start to feel pretty powerful and you have hordes of things coming at you, but you're just like demolishing them. And that's kind of fun. But if that's one of those games where it's like, yeah, around hour 6 or 8, it starts to get really cool. Like, I don't know if that gameplay is good enough to hold me till then.
In writing, in, you know, fictional or creative writing, there is a thing called a hook. And usually you want that hook to be in like the first, not only the first page, but in like the first couple sentences.
Maybe even that little blurb on the back of the book to can somewhat contribute to that. But you need something to.
You want something that hooks you immediately. Typically, the hook is considered is like the first sentence or two.
Right.
And it's what keeps you reading. And if a game or a movie or something doesn't have that, then I am not going to do it. And not only is like a hook for me is like I can't handle that League of Legends / Diablo over the top
like
thing.
MOBAs and some of that sort of like competitive play stuff that you see some of the like esports people's playing and stuff. Yeah.
If I was going to be playing a game with that same look to it, I would want to be playing like Command and Conquer or Age of Empires or like Civilization, like
Total War
like
or something.
Yeah,
yeah, for sure. And that's the thing I've heard mentioned many times is in a lot of games you have that kind of, it's almost you like every game kind of has somewhat of a gameplay loop, and games do it way better than others. And that's the thing, I feel like the Diablo gameplay loop is essentially like every game you'll have a at least most games you have like a combat section, and then you'll have a like non-combat or an exploration thing. And that was like one of the complaints I know with Starfield is, you know, sometimes you'd have 15 minutes of walking on a planet to get to some outpost, and it's just like boring as heck.
Yeah.
You get in there, you have a few minutes of like running and gunning and fighting and throwing grenades and all this stuff, but then you're just back out wandering aimlessly through nothing. Whereas on the opposite hand of that, what I heard one of the best ones, and it obviously makes sense, was like Halo. Like Halo, they had like specifically timing so that most combat encounters maybe took like, you know, maybe 45 seconds for individual things or maybe a couple minutes, and you had a little bit of exploring to get to the next area, but it was never too much that it felt daunting. Like you do a little bit of thing, but you pretty quick be at the next area where you fight more stuff, and it kind of kept you engaged pretty at a good pacing, I think.
Yeah. Well, I've seen that laid out. I saw someone do a comparison of Starfield to Skyrim. And it was an encounter meter. Like, this is how many encounters you have to cover a certain distance. And then the distance for Starfield was so long that most casual players don't care about pixel beauty.
Right.
For the most part.
Yeah.
You know, so Yeah, that's, I think that's one of the reasons why that game has, I would call it a failure, right, honestly.
Yeah, even in Skyrim, yeah, like even if you just walked everywhere and out in the fields and stuff, you'd either have some wolves or something, or like the big spiders or something kind of jump out.
People walking too. Yeah, you'd have prisoners or whatever. Yeah. There was that many encounters. Like you would discover a new place. I mean, if you discover everything in Skyrim, the whole map is littered with like
places. Icons and locations and stuff. Oh, like hidden caves and a bunch of other things.
And so I think that's why that game has failed. So
Starfield, yeah. But yeah, so Diablo just doesn't, I mean, I'm not super far into it. I might give it like one more little go for maybe an hour or something just to see where it goes. But I already don't feel like it's going to hold my attention very well.
Which, I mean, to each their own. There's obviously a Diablo 4, which means there was a Diablo 3, a Diablo 2, and a Diablo 1.
Right. So they're obviously doing good.
People like it.
Yeah.
But me, not so much.
Every game out there has some audience for it. You know, like I've seen a Supermarket Simulator has been exploding on Steam and stuff. There's a lot of streamers streaming it, and it is the simplest. It's an early access game. It's the simplest thing. You're literally building and running a supermarket, doing the checkout, stocking the shelves, and it's a simple thing, but it's got an addictive gameplay loop to it.
I've seen people just playing like Euro Truck Driver that have like tens of thousands of dollars in setups. They have like entire truck cabs.
They're like a sim.
Yeah, they're like a full-on sim, which obviously the gameplay on that's pretty tedious.
Right.
But
to me, like the interest in the game like that is like, that's the perfect game. Like you put on a podcast, like you have a tablet next to you, and you just put on a podcast or something to watch or listen to, and you're just sitting in your big rig, cruising down the road, merging in and out of traffic while you're listening to your thing.
I did that some with Elite Dangerous, where I was running cargo missions and I was listening to books. Like I was listening to some of the Stormlight Archive. I think the first book I was listening to, like The Way of Kings. Which is like a 55 hour listen.
Oh yeah.
So it's pretty long. And I was just playing and just running, you know, running cargo and then train, you know, pretty boring, but then through Spotify on Xbox, I was able to do that.
Just listen to it at the same time.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Which was nice.
That's pretty nice.
What else is coming out that you've seen?
No, I did see that sad news that Larian Studios isn't going to come out with any DLC or anything for Baldur's Gate 3.
Which hurts, yeah.
Yeah, like, obviously, I think they're still coming out with hot fixes and patches and bug fixes and things to...
Supported, but not going to be...
supported stuff, but no official, like, DLC or expansions kind of things. But I'm wondering if part of that, too, is, like, I mean, if you go and you look at the mods for it, there's already so many mods for Baldur's Gate, and good ones, too, that add alternative races and things in it.
Yeah.
Like, there's one of them where you... they have an Asimar race in the thing, and it's fully fleshed out and stuff, and it looks super fun. Like, I might like to do a playthrough with that mod, with some of those mods on there and stuff.
I would have to download it again to put mods on there, which is interesting to me, because, like, even just adding, like, Artificer subclass, like, or Artificer class, which I think they have.
I think I saw one of those, too, yeah.
Well, I've seen it done, and I was like, oh, that looks pretty stinking cool, you know? I think that'd be a fun class to have, especially in this game, or added, like... items or clothing. Those have been pretty big.
Having just plain black dye for the clothing. I want that for my rogue.
Yeah.
But, and then there's ones that like take away, that take away the level cap so you can level up to level 20. And like a lot of that's through multi-classing. Like you could be level 12 barbarian, but then just do the rest of the levels in some other class if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. So you could become pretty dang powerful through doing that.
I imagine you would.
That would be fun.
Honor mode, there you go.
Right. The only thing that I kind of wish they would add would be a new game plus. Like, I'd love to just restart from the beginning, but be level 12.
Yeah.
I think that could be... Yeah, I mean, sure, you don't get the satisfaction of leveling up, but you could always respec or something if you just want to do something different. But, like, starting from the beginning and just going in and demolishing everybody, I feel like would be
pretty
fun.
With, like, honor mode plus as well.
Right.
Like, no, and, like, maybe one revivify, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, or, like, you can't... there's no scrolls. You have to use the spell.
Yeah.
You have to use your spell slots and all that stuff in order to revive people.
Yeah, I've been playing some Helldivers 2. It's been okay. It is a very repetitive game. A lot of people really like it.
That game kind of took the world by storm.
Oh, yeah. It is a fun game, but I think if you play a solo, it's not the game. Like, you need...
That's why I haven't played it, just because you're one of the few people that I play games with, and we've been busy lately, haven't really had the time to play, but...
And I'm on Discord with, like, a bunch of guys that play it, so I've been playing with them, and it's been fun, but it's also... It's kind of the same thing over and over and over again, and there's, like, been some cool, unique moments to it, but one thing I find, and this is kind of, like, an issue I have with Gears of War and other games... The shooting mechanics in it don't leave me satisfied, if that makes sense. Oh. I think it's because it's so horde-y, right? That,
yeah.
You know, whereas when I play a game like Squad.
I was going to say like Squad or something. Like when you get the kill on that, oftentimes you don't even know if you did, but sometimes. I love it. Yeah. Oh, it feels good.
Yeah. And like you don't know, if, like each shot kind of matters. Like Tarkov, get back into that. Like Tarkov or something like that. Like that kind of gameplay where like, the shots are very important to like the overall thing. Like if I miss an entire magazine with the shot, like the breaker, like a semi-automatic shotgun in that game, the world's not over. I just pick up, you know, the ammo is a little bit more limited than you would think it is, but like I'll call down a thing or I'll, you know,
in Helldivers.
Yeah. Or I'll call in an eagle and drop like a cluster bomb on them or whatever. And those are fun. Those are, and I think that's the reason why people like, I think if it didn't have those call-ins and it was just people fighting masses of things, the calling in a successful strike where you see like times 36 or whatever enemies killed, that's that one shot that gives you, that's that squad effect of like iron sights, gun swit weighing, and you're shooting into bushes and you have no idea if they're there and you're moving up for like 5 minutes trying to find them and then you like their bodies
and you see the legs sticking out and you're like, oh, I got them back when I was on that hill.
That's a fun thing for
you. Mentioned the drops and like the bombs and call in and stuff, and that made me think, so what you're saying is it was a long time ago, but Mercenaries 2 had it right.
They did, they really did. Honest to God, Mercenaries 2 and Mercenaries 1.
Both of them.
Those were, I would love to see that game revamped in like a modern thing with multiplayer. Oh my God.
And we had co-op and stuff. Yeah, just make a third one of those with online, with two or four player co-op, kind of like a Helldivers thing. But yeah, you're just, I loved like you had the playing cards like system of like all the bad guys had like the Ace of Spades was the main bad guy and you had to like work your way through them.
Oh, we killed to take so many North Koreans. Yeah. The North Koreans had no chance.
And like, they weren't scared of actually, they didn't just have an op for.
Yeah. They were like, this is North Korea. Nope, yeah, North Korea bad.
It's the North Koreans. They're bad. So that's what we're going after.
Kim Jong-un.
But
real bad guy.
Jesus. Yeah, a new Mercenaries would be sick. Like, because, yeah, that game, it definitely was a, like, it didn't matter what the graphics were like in that. You didn't care. Like, you had so much fun just, like, calling in. And, like, you being in, like, a tank and I could pick you up with a helicopter or something.
Oh, that was a wild thing. If nobody knows about this game, so Mercenaries 1, what was it, PlayStation 2 or PlayStation?
That might have.
Like, an Xbox 3?
I think that was 2. Because the first one was... What we filmed that video in.
Yeah, so that was PlayStation 2. And you could, you know, it was very, at the time you really didn't notice, but it was like, you know, very much Vice City graphics, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
GTA Vice City. And you were a mercenary called in by the UN, and it was like the Korean War gone hot. The North Koreans had invaded, and very like... invasion of Iraq, there was like a deck of 52 cards.
Yeah.
And they were like people that were capture or kill missions.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You could subdue them and get a higher reward.
Yeah.
But you totally could just like drop a nuke on them and just bomb and go in like, I think you have to confirm it or something.
Yeah. You had to go in and you had to actually go in and take a picture with your PDA.
Oh, yeah. And you could confirm it. But then you'd get paid. And yeah, you couldn't make as much money, but it was totally like free to, you could just conquer this however you wanted to.
And it was also a game that featured a lot of destruction, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah, all the buildings you could destroy and blow up. Like it all seemed a lot of stuff way early for its time.
It did. Like a very Red Faction also. Like it was very much the same thing. Very destruction oriented. And Mercenary 2 was fun. It takes place in Venezuela.
Mm-hmm. That one actually added the co-op into it. The first one didn't have the co-op, but that one added the co-op, and then we had a blast with that.
And so in that game, you could like drop a chain from like a helicopter and pick up a tank and have the tank underneath it But you could also be shooting the tank cannon.
Yeah, you could still fire it.
And like your gut, it's swaying all over the place. So there was a lot of hijinks to be had.
I think we'd use it like a wrecking ball too.
We did.
Like bring the helicopter down and just the tank falls through and just wipes out people like a wrecking ball. That was a lot of fun.
Yes. Honestly. So like, and we gave permission to Miley Cyrus for that song.
That's where she stole it from.
She saw
that game and was like, that's a good idea. I'm going to write about that.
I'm going to ride on a wrecking ball.
She meant that tank.
Yeah, she didn't. They couldn't afford a tank.
Tank's too expensive.
It is too expensive. Yeah.
And again, the CGI wasn't great at that time, so you had to go with a wrecking ball. You could make a sphere. Like that's not that hard to CG.
That's not hard at all. Yeah. Lost in the weeds there, but yeah, that was a fun game. A lot of fun. So I Helldivers 2, a good play. Like if you've got some buddies to play with, you should do it.
Right. Yeah, it definitely seems it's worth checking out if you like that kind of. Maybe horde-based sort of stuff. Apparently, my wife is just telling me, like, she knows more about Helldivers than I do, just from, like, the subreddit and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, scrolling
the
Reddit.
Memes.
Yeah, there's a lot of memes around it. And so, I guess there was one big, like, territory in the game that, like, got locked down because people weren't able to defend it, and some other in-game faction took it over, and it was, like, locked. Like, you couldn't go back
Manevalon
and fight there.
Creek. It was, like, Vietnam. It was the robots.
Yeah. But the developers put out something that they're like, we're going back to the creek, and they open it back up, and then people are like, oh, we can go back to it, and everybody's like, the people who are into the game are like losing their minds. They're like,
yeah,
let's go, boys, let's get back to the creek, and
yeah, there's a very good over. There's like a very good, I think, man, I would have loved to have capitalized, like if we had the time, if we were just like full time streamers and podcasters,
yeah.
Coming up with a news channel that like really dedicated to it.
Ooh.
Like very Starship Troopers.
I could see that.
Like I've seen some of that. I've seen people do it, but they're not doing it like the way that they should be doing it.
Right.
But there is a lot of like group think where everybody's like, yeah, let's do it. And yeah, it's pretty good. It's a lot of fun. It's a fun game to play, but I don't find myself like craving it.
Right. I already kind of feel like in some instances, like some of the hyper stuff is starting to die down already. Yeah. Like I'm a little bit plugged into some of the Twitch streaming world and stuff, and like I kind of can tell what games are kind of popular based on like you see all these different streamers that they'll all go through these phases of they're all playing the same games and stuff. Like it was a Lethal Company or it's Power World or Helldivers or a lot of these different kind of things that they kind of in their like group together and play them together. And so you'll see kind of these things go through waves of super popular and then it'll start to fizzle up. But then the next thing will come in.
Yeah.
And I like to see though that we are kind of in a period now that it's a little few and far between, but we've got some pretty good games coming out from time to time. I felt like there was a big period there of a lot of kind of dry, like there wasn't a lot of great games coming out for a while.
There's a lot of good indie games as well, but where I'm at, this is still where I go to. These are like my primary games that I play. Squad, Stellaris, Mountain Blade, Bannerlord, Warno, and that's it. That's pretty much it.
I tell you, man, like, I feel the only game I've
Rome 2
really played, other than that little trial I did of Diablo, the only thing I've been playing still is Baldur's Gate 3.
It's fun.
Because I finished my Dark Reach playthrough, and I picked back up on a playthrough that I had got to I had started Act 3, and then I stopped, and so I picked that one back up, and I'm going to try and just kind of finish that one out. And my wife's got back into it. She had some time off, kind of self-vacation she took, and throughout that whole thing it was super exciting for me because I got to come home from work and she had did some like things around the house and stuff, but then when I got home it was like Baldur's Gate time, and so she would play and I would get to watch her, and I was basically her guide through the game.
Yeah,
because I played it, and like at least in Act 1 and 2 I know where just about everything is, and I kind of know the best, at least thematically, the best, you know, like do go this place first or this mission first. And then like to make it kind of flow so that you see everything that's there, but you don't like miss out on anything.
Yeah.
And so I've been kind of just like gently guiding her through, but she enjoys that because she wants to see all the stuff. And yeah, she just kind of hit Act 3, but I haven't played Act 3, but you know, only a little bit between what we've done and my one Dark Urge thing. And so I'm wanting to kind of go back through that before her so that I can go through it more thoroughly and kind of learn where all that stuff is so that I can give her the same experience in Act 3.
Yeah, we definitely had some issues in Act 3 where we're like, what? We're saving people? Oh, we're going to die. Like,
it was a lot of like just discovery, random things. And we missed out on our playthrough. Like, we've missed out on so much stuff in there. But we just did things like there's not really an order. And you can kind of just do things whenever you want. But there are certain things that rely that could, you know, you could lose out on missions because of doing other things. And I think the order we did stuff in was so wrong that we missed out on a bunch of stuff.
Oh, yeah. It was very random. It was like, let's just go here. Let's just go do this. Let's go do.
But it's cool. We can still do that.
Yes, it's cool.
So that's really the only game I've been putting any significant time into.
Yes. And Squad just had an update. This is kind of wild. So Squad had an update and they have, they've changed some of the weapon mechanics, so it's a little bit... So they did an infantry combat overhaul that made shooting infantry, like being an infantryman, a lot harder. They really increased the suppression, and then like if you had a scope, it took you like a second and a half sometimes to get a really clear sight picture, especially if your stamina was low.
Oh, wow.
But now they've reduced all that. They've really revamped it, and most people are pretty happy where it's at.
Hmm.
But now they added... You know, most people that had their servers that they ran on there were... they had the option where you could be like, hey, I want, you know, vote for this by hitting one in the chat or whatever, or two in the chat. And okay. It would like, you know, through like a,
automated, like on maps and stuff
on maps, you know, like, hey, this, you guys can play, you know, here's six map options, Al-Basra versus, you know, it'll be Turkey versus insurgents or whatever, you know, like it'll kind of tell you what it was. They've gone now and they've made it to where there's literally a map voting feature built into the game.
Oh.
So now, like, I love Squad, but boy, is it loud and obnoxious in, like, the after game or, like... And so you've got, you know, 25 people on your team just yelling, Marine Corps, pick Marine Corps, Marine Corps. And, luckily you can switch it to Squad chat, but the problem is, like... The same maps keep getting chosen and the same, like, I love the, you know, USA, all the way, baby, but I don't want to play with the US Army every single time.
No.
So
yeah, sometimes I want to be the, what was the militia one?
It was like the insurgents and the militia. Yeah. Well, the problem is that everybody wants to play those too. And like those get kind of old too. So you want to play some other blue four factions or red four factions.
I mean, we had a blast of time one time when I think we were just, yes, one of the op four factions and we just had like an RPK, an RPG or something on top of a roof.
Yeah.
And we just saw like vehicles out in the distance and we were just blasting RPGs and stuff from the roof.
Well, and that's one of my favorite things to do is like a good ambush. Like I run a lot of vehicles in that game and then ambushing is like one of my favorite things, even whether I'm attacking or like a defending thing, like if we're in the invasion subset. But because of that, so now you can vote on the faction and then there's different sub factions within that. So there's like US Army light infantry and you get different things based on that, or US Army combined arms or US Army armored. Or U.S. Army air assault, like there, and each one of those comes with different vehicle sets and different kind of like, you know, you can set two HABs instead of one HAB, like two different spawn points instead of one, or have two TOW missile launchers per radio or whatever. So, if you guys haven't played Squad in a long time, it's a good time to get back in. However, I would like to see server specific, like servers be able to have a little bit more control over what could be picked.
Mm.
I'll just put it that way.
Okay.
Cause it gives you like six options and then there's like a reroll option. And so maybe it's eight options. And so, but some of the servers have it like on secret voting. So you can't see how many votes are cast, which is kind of nice. But the problem is it's just a constant Marine Corps, pick Marine Corps. Let's go to Goose Bay. And then like everybody's yelling at each other. And like, dang. It's a fun game and there's a lot of cooperation in it, but it is, and nobody's like, the servers are intentionally don't be toxic and don't do, you know, whatever.
Yeah. But they have pretty good moderation in a lot of
the
servers.
They have a lot of really good admins. But the caveat is in the initial like setup phase, like the first 2.5 minutes, or in the like after the game is over and you're in that middle phase, like voting on the next map. It just gets wild. Like music, people yelling at each other. Like
you hear Sabaton playing over the mic and stuff.
You know, in the beginning, it's just clear, you know, a fortunate son, typically. So
makes sense.
or other things. I'm not going to say on our podcast because it's clean. We've done pretty well keeping it clean so far.
Exactly. I can only imagine.
And then Warno, big Warno fan. It's not the biggest game in the world. A lot of people aren't into it as much as I am, but
yeah,
they have made the single player army general mode co-op now. And I've played through that once, the one they already have out, but they're about to come up with two huge army general maps with like essentially scenarios. And those are going to be interesting to play through.
Oh, that's cool.
That's been a lot of fun.
Nice.
And Stellaris is coming out with a new thing for like their millionth DLC. That's also probably going to cost $19. God knows how much. I think if you buy the entire thing, it's like $300 or something like
that. Not as bad as The Sims. Sims has like 400 DLCs and they're all like $20 or something.
Still,
so it's like thousands of dollars to get all of Sims 4 and all associated content. It's ridiculous.
That is crazy.
I think that's about all as far as kind of the things I've been doing or seeing and stuff. I did want to mention something you had sent me the other day, a screenshot of an event happening
in
a few months. Like We don't have any plans at the moment, but I think we might try and make some plans.
You think so? That might be interesting.
That could be some interesting stuff. But there's a Bigfoot convention.
In Gatlinburg, Tennessee.
Hey,
y'all.
Perfect place to have, right down the road down there. but I think that could be kind of cool. There's also a...
I'm Dolly Parton.
For the second year in the row, me and my mom and my wife went last year, but there's a UFO festival in Spruce Pine,
okay,
as well. It's a very small little thing, but it was a fun little thing. I think that's in June, but that was a fun. We put some pictures on
the
Instagram.
We should do some interviews. We should get like stickers and interviews going on for that. I think that'd be fun.
That could be cool. But that was a cool thing. But that Bigfoot is like an actual like a convention.
It's a convention.
Like, it's a big deal,
and it features David Politis, who is the missing 411.
Yeah, the guy made the missing 411, which is like a major like movie and stuff.
Major documentary.
Or documentary. Yeah.
Yeah. But he's never come out and said it, but he's like, realistically, he's like, the reason why people are going missing is because of the Bigfoot, you know, he's never come out and told families that. My favorite, there's one, it's at a MUFON conference. Like, are you familiar with what does MUFON stand for?
The Mutual UFO Network.
So he's at a MUFON, you can find this on YouTube. It's David Politis talking and he does like his whole presentation. And I remember I watched it and like at the end of it. Like for the first half, it was just like these are like all these weird places where people go missing. Isn't that strange? You know, blah, 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 blah. National parks. And they're like cave networks. And then like the second half, he gets really into the Bigfoot stuff, which I like Bigfoot stuff a lot. But the part that's cracking me up is at the end of it. And there's a guy and you could just picture him because I can't see him. But like you can picture like a larger early 90s or like, you know, early 2000s World of Warcraft guy with like a low sunk brow and big glasses on.
Don't you think there's any connection between werewolves and UFOs? Because Bigfoot seems to be a little bit just too alien to be at this earth. It seems like they would have their origins in UFOs and werewolves that come from off world somewhere and stuff. You know, because I read an article about about a strong UFO Bigfoot connection.
So I don't even like to call myself a Bigfoot expert, werewolf expert. I can't even claim to know much about that.
Like David Politis, to his credit, does an awesome job of like not like totally like you see like you'll see like a smirk like a slight. Like he almost loses it for a second, but he realizes, you know, this guy is, you know, he reminds me the guy that asked the question reminds me a lot of, who is it? That's, he's a comedian he's been in trouble before, but he got really famous recently where he was on stage doing crowd work and he's like, what kind of cargo you hauling in those pants or whatever? And the guy's like, I just like cargo pants. So I wear them.
Oh yeah.
And he's like, I want you guys to know that I'm not going to make fun of this guy at all. And I too like to wear things because they're comfortable.
Yes.
And he just moves on. It's that kind of guy. It's like the same kind of voice. And he's like, werewolves and they get and UFOs and Bigfoot. And it was just like this whole rabbit hole. And
It was good. It was the, like, even for a Bigfoot thing, it was a step a little too far. Kind of like.
Good question. Like a red shirt guy from Blizzard or whatever.
Right.
from BlizzCon.
Right.
So, yeah. That's
funny.
That was funny.
Yeah, so he'll be... We should go and then ask him the same question.
Let's do it. That would be hilarious. That would be the best. That would be the best.
Oh, my God. I don't know if I could live with myself.
John from the Geeky DC podcast. Real quick question, David. Do you think that werewolves are...
and UFOs and are related to Bigfoots?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I sent it to our mutual friend Ben, who's been on the show before, and he was like, oh, my God. And unfortunately, he lives in Tejas, but it would be fun for him to come back.
That would be pretty cool to come visit.
Yeah.
Maybe we can convince him. I don't know. Probably not.
Probably not.
Probably has a busy life, like most people.
He is a busy man. Busy man.
Yeah.
Making his cool...
Hopefully we will have him back on before too long, though.
Yeah, we need to do a modeling podcast. We need to talk about not modeling as in nude modeling, because I've only done that a few times. But...
Yeah, no, we're past that point in our lives.
But, no pun intended there, he is a great... Sci-Fi or Die is his Instagram handle. He has a lot of really good...
Like, kit bashing and model working, but also... Have him on for that, but then subsequently, hopefully schedule a thing for our next death battle.
Our next battle to the death.
Mythical creature death battle.
Yeah.
I really want to do that one. I keep mentioning it. I mentioned it a few times over the past, a number of shows here in the last little bit, but I'm like, schedules are hard to line up sometimes. So we'll get something figured out at some point. So we'll get something. Be on the lookout for that.
Be on the lookout.
Yeah.
So just real quick for me, I just wanted to say, show-wise, Physical 100 is back out.
I want to watch
on Netflix
that.
Second season.
I want to see this. I don't have Netflix, but I might see if there's a trial or something I can do just to binge through.
The first season's good. Yeah. The first season I think might be a little bit better. Some of the, I like the thematic stuff of it. It was more mythology based or whatever.
Yeah.
This one's been kind of like underground themed, which has been kind of cool still.
Right.
But still pretty vicious, pretty hardcore workout. Three Body Problem. We've talked about We've talked about that book before in our Aliens podcast, where we talked about the Fermi Paradox, and it is based on the Dark Forest solution to the Fermi Paradox. And, that is that there's predators and there's prey, and neither one are going to answer us because they don't want us to, or the predators won't answer us because they're going to come find us, and the prey doesn't want to answer us because they don't want to be heard by the predators.
Makes sense.
So, and that's been pretty good. It's by Benioff and Wise, the guys that did Game of Thrones. Pretty happy with it.
And thankfully, this book series is like complete, so they don't have to just make up stuff.
Yeah. Cixin Liu has already finished it. Tokyo Vice second season, really good so far. Almost done with that. Got kind of caught up in a bunch of stuff, so we've not finished that one yet. But that's also watching right now.
Nice.
Apple Podcast. All our Apple shows are kind of over right now. We just finished Masters of the Air. Definitely not my favorite one. Very CGI heavy compared to like Band of Brothers or The Pacific. They're kind of sister miniseries.
Right.
Some of the worst acting too, I would say well, but I don't know. Like it's like watching New Hope or something where they're like trying to shoot down TIE fighters, but it's like the same speeds, like the Messerschmitts are coming in on the B-17s going mock Jesus, it doesn't, there they go. Like it doesn't make any sense.
Right. So, that makes sense.
But I guess there's not a lot of B-17s to put up in the air, especially after. Did you ever see that air show where that P-51 Mustang came through? People died.
I think so. That sounds familiar.
Where it hit the tail of that B-17, cut it in half. Jesus.
Yeah. That was a crazy video.
Yeah.
A
little sadness there, but let's pick it up. By the way, so I was complaining in the last podcast about my vehicle, my 2015 Hyundai Tucson.
Right.
Right.
We kind of railed on Monday for a minute there.
And I'm going to keep doing it.
Oh.
Because, but I don't have to worry about it because I don't own one anymore.
You don't?
I now own a 2016 Lexus RX 350.
Do you really?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. So.
I didn't know this.
I know. This is a little surprise for you.
Dude. And Toyota's like the most reliable brand, and all Lexus is a fancy Toyota.
Yeah. Oh, and let me tell you, it's fancy. It's like a single owner from Georgia that's like only had 68,000 miles on it.
Okay. And what year was it, you said?
2016.
Oh, that ain't bad.
It's amazing. It's great. We love it so far. It's only, we've only had it for a month, but my wife is much happier.
I want to come over and check that out.
Well, I was going to proffer this to you right now. So
spur of the moment proposition,
because we've not talked about this. We're thinking about going to Linville tomorrow in the afternoon. So I don't know if you wanted to come after you get, maybe you guys get off. We're going to go
Thursday.
Yeah. We're going to
this recording.
Yeah.
Ooh,
we're going to go like one ish. But if you guys wanted to meet us down there or something like that, I'm not sure how long we'll stay, but
right.
Just putting out there.
Oh, dang. Wish I would have like asked off.
Well, it's kind of last second for me.
Yeah, I know.
It was last second for me too. I was like, you know what? Cause he's on spring break. I was like, we should do it.
Oh, but right. Yeah. Spring. It's currently spring break for the kiddos.
That's, for some of them. Like next week, some, I don't know. It's wild.
Right. Right.
My son's losing his best friend. They're moving to like Florida.
Oh, he's not like dying or something. That's good.
No, it's a she and he.
Oh,
it's like his favorite person, but she was super sweet to him in kindergarten, and like they still play together on the playground.
Oh, that's nice.
Now they're moving.
They're moving away. Oh,
so now it's his first real heartbreak. Kind
of. Oh, dang.
That's not fun as a parent.
That's not fun to deal with.
But we got a 2016 Lexus.
Hey, but you got a cool car. So
pearl white. Woo! Yeah, it's pretty. It's pretty nice, man. It's
yeah,
pretty nice.
I want to check that out for sure.
I would suggest you also get a Lexus RX 350. That's 2016 because I did and I like it.
We could just have matching rides.
It's got a pretty neat. Feature on it that I like. I drove several cars when I went down there. I drove like a 2019 RAV4.
We're in the car talk section of the podcast now. So, yeah, talk all things cars.
Oh yeah. I'm not
even vroom, vroom.
ka-chow. There's, I drove a 2019 RAV4 with like 80 on it, and I just didn't like it. It was not very spacious. And then we drove a Subaru Forester, like a 2021.
Okay.
With not as many miles on it. Spacious, but not. Then we drove the Lexus in the middle. So it was like too hot, too cold, and then the Lexus was just perfect.
Does it have four wheel or all wheel drive?
Really? This one's a front wheel drive.
Front wheel drive. Okay.
This one's front wheel drive, which I'm fine with. I've done plenty of excursions in front wheel drive vehicles.
Right.
But one of the cool things about it is the touchscreen thing is not really a touchscreen. It's further up on the dash and in the arm, like where your arm naturally sits in the middle, there's like this little square, almost like joystick kind of thing. It's like free floating. I've never had that before.
Oh yeah.
With like two enter buttons on either side.
I've seen those.
So now you can just like I think it's way safer than leaning up and finger mashing just random stuff and then getting fingerprints all over your screen. And
with some of those touchscreens, some of them are finicky, like their bounding boxes don't match the buttons on the screen. Yes. So you go to click something, my car's bad about that, and it clicks the button next to it and stuff, and you're like,
stupid bounding boxes.
Yeah.
It's Chinese foot, but I don't know where.
Chinese foot, what?
But you know, if when they bound their feet, like back in the day, it was like pretty.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't know about Chinese foot bounding? I don't know. You said bound, that's the first thing that came. My gramps brought home some of those shoes home from the war when he was over.
Jeez.
My gramps was in China. He was with the Flying Tigers, and he's got, he's not, he's dead, but he brought home the, a bunch of stuff from China.
Some stuff, some souvenirs.
Some souvenirs. And some of them were like shoes that were like, who are these for, infants? And they're like, no, this is like adult women. Like body mutilated, essentially.
Right. Well, on that note, now that we're done with car talk, I think that'll wrap it up for today.
Okay, I'm down with that.
Yeah, we'll call it here and hopefully come up with another one coming soon. But this episode was brought to you by our Patreon. Patreon.com/geeketcpodcast. You can go there, and for a couple dollars a month, you can help support us. You can be part of the crew. And we've got a co-op series on there where me and John are playing games together. Our current one is Baldur's Gate 3 Honor Mode, like we've mentioned. I think I've got either episode 6 or 7 up there as the last one, and the next one should be going up pretty soon. You can go check those out. It's an entertaining time. And yeah, follow us on Instagram at GeekETCPodcast. Go subscribe to our YouTube channel. The podcasts are uploaded there as well. And yeah, give us a follow on all the social media things. Yeah, and give us a listen. Download podcasts. Rate us 5 stars if you would. Leave reviews all that stuff.
Yeah, 5 stars would be nice. Just
it all helps.
If you want to give us 5, don't give us 1 star because then that's not cool.
Or if you give 1 star, give like the best raving review in the statement. So because people are like, oh, it's a 1 star. I'm going to read that one. Ooh. But then it only says good things about it. So you're like.
Except I think the analytics will like.
Analytics might not like do that. One so. Stars.
But unless somebody's like, oh, what's the least rated podcast? Let's make this the least rated podcast. Let's not. This is.
I don't want to do that. That's just hypothetical.
It's hypothetical. Yeah. But if you give us 5 stars, that's always a nice thing because it does help people find us. And we are trying to do better about recording. However, we are 2 adults with jobs and I have a kid and we are poor. We're not rich people. We're not sitting in a multi-million-dollar studio and
no.
Whatever. We can't afford the newest games. We're just a couple guys, just like you guys yep. are a couple guys or a couple gals or
2 blokes. That's what we were going to call the podcast, but we decided not to.
Yeah, especially since my accent's horrendous.
Isn't it? Boy. But, give us, if you enjoy what you listen to, maybe think about supporting us. We appreciate it. Like, we'd both love to be able to do this, you know, once or twice a week and have them coming out all the time. But, you know, until that day, we will put them out when we can.
I did buy 2 quick picks. You guys are on the hanger right now, cliffhanger, where I win the lottery.
That's right. Yeah, the lottery. I'm in the running. Like, it was like a 1-point-something billion.
I'm in the running for the lottery.
It's probably going to be you. I'm pretty confident. But yeah, that's pretty huge. Sure, you'd only walk away with maybe only 500-600 million.
Less than that. I think the last person only got like 300.
Oh, no.
Like, congratulations, United States government. On right. Winning the
lottery. Whatever state wins, yeah. Usually California, they get, you know, oh, we get 500 million in taxes to go into the state. Yeah, it doesn't seem like a scam at all. But if you do win, you might hear more episodes more often. So if you just suddenly start to get like 2 or 3 episodes a week, then you can probably safely assume that we got lucky.
There will be signs.
There will be signs.
There will be signs. A better soundboard, first of all.
Very, very probable. Yeah, better soundboard. More, you know, maybe even a visual component. Ooh, we'll see.
But just remember, geeks fight better together. So whether you are in Dune 2 trying to fight over the last sandworm popcorn bucket or or whether you're trying to fight it out over whether Rebel Moon's bad or not, just remember, partner up with your friends, let's fight better together.
Yeah, also in Helldivers.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
But always remember, no matter what, keep geeking out.